Hello and welcome to Coast AM. I am Lisa Gar, and it is such a joy to be here tonight, sitting in for the amazing George Norrie. So look, Halloween might have been tried to be canceled in certain parts of the country, but it is not canceled on Coast to Coast. Tonight, we are going to be joined by Dr. Ghost Coach, an author of My Haunted Reality, 50 Years of Ghost Stories, Rick Wagner, who's been encountering spirits since he was 6 years old. And he now understands that everything around us is a form of energy, and these energies do attract different things. And when we understand them, we can make a better impact on the spirit energies around us rather than making the impact on us. All right, well, we will be back with Rick Wagner, the Ghost Coach. I am Lisa Gar. You're listening to Coast AM. Welcome back to Coast AM. I am Lisa Gar, and my guest tonight has been encountering spirits since he was 6 years old. He grew up in Buffalo, New York, and he had a near-death experience on a motorcycle that turned into how he realized that spirits can affect our lives on a daily basis. Rick Wagner is going to tell us about this experience and his 50 years of ghost stories. Welcome to the show, Rick. Thanks for joining me.
I am here. Thank you, Lisa. I was going to say I'm only 45.
I was going to say 50
years.
50 years. You do not look like
you. Change the cover of the book.
That's
this is the 30 years of ghost stories.
Why don't you do that? We'll just change that right now. So tell me, yeah, how did you get into this? How old were you?
How old am I?
No. How old were you when you got into telling ghost stories?
Wow. You know, I was thinking, you know, we're all empathetic to a degree. We're all oversensitive. And to the point of, did I see something? Did I feel something? Mm-hmm. I'll just ignore that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but for me, it was so prevalent. And I didn't feel like I could share with anybody. For many, many years. And I think the turning point was the motorcycle accident.
So tell us about that. What happened?
So it was in Hollywood. I was just going to the gym. And back then in 1990, we did not have to wear helmets.
Oh.
So I had a gym bag over my shoulder and just, you know, flying down Sunset Boulevard. I made a left turn, and a woman pulled out of a driveway with a Jaguar and hit me head on.
Mm.
I was thrown 50 feet in the air, landed on my head on the pavement. The bike was totaled. The car was totaled. And I was lying in the street looking up at the sky, and I couldn't move anything. I could lift my head up, but my body wasn't responding. And it's kind of, you know, at the moment, it's just embarrassing. It's like, oh. You know, let's go. Somebody might see me here. You know, this is ridiculous.
Well, you want to move and get out of the street. Yeah.
Yeah, otherwise somebody might run me over.
Uh-huh, yeah.
So they had, the paramedics came, and they said, oh, who put your gym bag under your head?
Hmm.
I said, my grandmother did.
Oh.
He said, what? Where is she? I go, oh, no, she died 10 years ago. And as soon as he asked me, though, I saw me flying through the air. I saw my grandmother's face and her hands take the bag from behind me and put it in front of me.
Wow.
And broke my fall.
Wow.
So it wasn't your normal near-death experience. I've talked about this on other shows. And they go, oh, did you see a tunnel? Were they sending you home? And, you know, how long were you incapacitated? I didn't get that.
But I guarantee you remember it like it was yesterday, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I play the movie over and over and over mm-hmm. again. It's like, well, I guess I have a reason for being here.
It's the most indelible experience NDEs are. I mean, if I ask you, what was your 10th grade birthday like? No clue, right?
No.
Probably couldn't remember that, or 11 or
sure
12.
We had cake.
Right. But, or, you know, where you were. No, but this... NDEs are groove a path in the brain that doesn't go away.
No.
Yeah.
I could tell you what I was wearing. Mm. I know exactly what the gym bag looked like. I saw my motorcycle crumpled. I saw the front end of her car crumpled. So I'm in the hospital at Cedars-Sinai in the emergency room, and they were releasing me the next day to my friends. The doctors stood there and they said, first of all, you should be dead.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
You should have severed your spine. fractured your skull. There should have been multiple internal injuries. They did not allow me to sleep all night. They did CAT scans and MRIs. And they said he found nothing. But he said what freaked him out most of all was the fact that there was no blood. To go 50 feet on pavement with just shorts and a T-shirt on.
Oh, he didn't even have leathers on, nothing.
There, no helmet. And he said, you are free to go. So, of course, in my mind, I'm just going, yeah, but my bike's totaled. You know.
I know. Yeah.
I'm not thinking of, oh, I'm alive. Now it's like, I got it. Now what do I do?
I understand. It's, you know, we look at those things that we take for granted. And so, but this experience of your grandmother, were you close to her?
Oh, very. Yeah. Mm. I mean, she was in the house with us. In fact, one of my very, very, very first experiences when I was six in Buffalo. Oh, it's an odd story. I would wake up in fear paralysis. And my brother is in the bed with me, and there's a man crouching down in white at the foot of the bed, trying to get to me. I was terrified. And all I wanted to do was yell to my grandmother. And my mouth was open, but nothing would come out.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, why am I yelling to grandma when my brother's right here and he can save me? It never made that connection. But this went on for some time. And probably a year later, my mom and I were going through some photos, and she turned the page, and there was this black and white photo of a man sitting in a hospital bed in white pajamas with white sheets and white hair, crouched down on the bed. And I went, who's that? And she says, that's her father.
Oh.
I said, no, that's what's crouching down at the end of the bed. She said, well, he's crouching because he had rheumatoid arthritis. He died of arthritis like in his mid-60s. He was never able to stand.
Mm.
So he was manifesting as he did in life, but I never saw him. I had no idea who it was. That was my grandfather.
Did your brother ever have these experiences?
Not as vivid as I did.
Mm.
You know, but that's why that connection was yelled to grandma, because the message wasn't for me. It wasn't there. This is the whole, my whole life was just being terrorized, and the messages weren't even for me. That's why the turning point was the motorcycle accident, where I realized, oh, they're not for me. Stop it. It's for other people.
Well, what do you mean?
That message was, he was crouching down. He was saying hello. He wanted to get a message to his wife, which was my grandmother, in the other room.
Ah.
That's why I was trying to scream for her.
Now, did she ever see ghosts? Did she ever have a paranormal experience that she spoke with you about?
Let me tell you about empathetic abilities. It's inherited. So your empathetic ability probably came from your mother or your grandmother. Usually it's on that side of the family.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen it on the father's side also. They're the ones that are oversensitive. And my mother was so super sensitive. You know, oh, don't do that. What will neighbors think? You're too loud.
Oh, my mom too. Mm-hmm. And my grandmother too.
There you go. I mean, that's where you got your passion, your love of what you do, your commitment, your empathy came from them.
So you don't see ghosts as scary then?
I was going to say, define scary.
Yeah, so not all ghosts are treated equal, apparently.
Let me say that, and everybody does this, our default emotion is fear. And out of that fear, we translate into evil.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know? And everyone says, the first thing that they do is they call me, oh, there's something evil over here. You have to do an exorcism. It's like, no, it's probably a family member. Let's go see. Chances are that's always what it was. You know, if you lost your carbon exterior and you were going to go haunt somebody, what's the purpose? What is the ghost getting out of it? Seriously.
You wonder. I mean,
well, I want to talk to the other side of the coin. I said, if there's something there, what are you doing? Is this what you live your whole life for? You know, your spirit world? What is this, a thrill for you? They're not trying to kill you. They are trying to get attention and confirmation and try to settle some confusion. Most of the time, they don't know that they're dead.
That they've passed, right. But what if they are in a place of pain and they just can't seem to get out of that pain? Can you?
Oh, that's a chapter in my book.
Mm-hmm.
So this is kind of make me go there again. Okay. I was doing a clearing on a friend of mine was visiting here from New York, and she was packing up to go home, and she was saying, she's so depressed in this apartment. She's so depressed. And I'm going, what are you talking about? Well, when I went over there to help her pack, I went into the bedroom, and a rush of goosebumps. Every hair was standing on end, and I go, what is in here? And she says, I told you. I said, no. You said you were depressed. You didn't say there was something in here.
Mm.
She goes, well, it's kind of in the closet, and I just keep the door closed. So I open up the closet door, and she hears me talking, and she says, what are you talking about? I said, well, it's a young spirit. His name is Jonathan, and he's terrified to come out of that little closet. He's scared. And so Denise says to me, she says, well, there's a school across the street. Why don't you send them over there? There's probably lots of kids. I said, I don't think that's the answer here.
Nice.
let me have a conversation with him. I believe if there's a spirit that's lost and lonely, they need to be connected to their family. We come into this world with our family. We leave with our family. They're waiting for us. There's a million lights out there. Everybody has a light. Every planet, every star has a light. And when you send something into a light, which one? The umbilical cord connection we have is to our mother and to her mother, and that's where that's our path.
Mm.
So I had one of my guides connect to Jonathan's mother, and he was so happy to reconnect that they went. And I thought that was the end of the story. He's now reconnected with his family. Then he said, oh, wow, what a change in the atmosphere in here. That was great. So I go home. And I'm just falling asleep. I'm totally exhausted, but I've got an elephant sitting on my chest.
Uh-oh. Yes.
And I opened up my eyes, and there's a man standing at the foot of my bed in a mound of depression.
Oh, no.
And I hadn't realized it at the time, but this was what Jonathan was afraid of.
Oh.
This person, this spirit. And I just said, all right, I'm done. You need to go. You just need to go. I need to sleep. Stop it. Well, I woke up at 3:30 in the morning, soaking wet, migraine, blinding migraine. I couldn't even turn on the light. I couldn't see anything. And I went to sit up, and I'm like, oh, my God, I must have pinched something in my back. I was like in the back spasms and so much pain. And the pain brought this, like, depression, and I can't see. I'm like, what is this?
Right.
It's a cloud. I took an aspirin, and it just continued. I was sweating. I would pass out for an hour and wake up, and this went on most of the day. I said, I need to go outside. I walked down Sunset. I went to the bank, and I'm on my way back, and there is a bus flying down the street. And I thought, oh, that's a good escape.
A bus?
That's a good escape. All I have to do is take two steps to the right, step in front of that bus, and I can proceed to my next level of enlightenment. My family can figure out, they can figure out whatever's going on in my apartment, and I'll be free of earthly trappings, let's say. Well, I had to stop myself because it was very compelling. It was very easy. It was a good conversation.
But not a thought that you're used to.
But I said, I've never been depressed
right.
in my life. Why would I want to walk in front? That sounds painful.
Uh-huh.
So I got back up into my apartment, and I said, okay, what's going on? Who is this? And I saw who it was, and I got the story. His name is Anthony. He died suddenly and couldn't figure out where he was. He was lost, and this is where the spirits get lost, lonely, and depressed. I wasn't with him at the time. I don't know how he lost his way. But there's that confusion of, like, am I dead or alive? And why isn't anyone helping me? So every time he went to someone for help, another spirit, he has too much stuff, and they sense that, so they run away from him. So he saw Jonathan. Jonathan was a nice light for him, and Jonathan was terrified of him.
Now, do you think you open yourself up to more of these beings, spirits, because you communicate with them? They feel they attract themselves to you or wind up next to you or in your space because you open the lines of communication with them?
It's part of my education. So let me tell you what happened.
Yeah.
So Anthony's there, and lost, lonely, and depressed. And I said, well, why did you follow me? He says, well, he's like, you were the only one that would get me.
Right.
And I'm going, yeah, but I don't want to join you. He says, how about your mother? Would you want to see your mother? He goes, no, I didn't like her. Do you have any siblings? No. How about your dad? He goes, oh, okay. So I said, if I connect you with your dad and he takes you to where you're supposed to be, will you promise not to connect to another human being? He said, okay. So we got the spirit of his dad there, and as soon as he left, I could turn my head from side to side. There was no pain. The migraine was gone. The sweating was gone. That depression was not only gone, I was like so elated. I wanted to stand up on the roof and go, this is brilliant. Now you understand where all this comes from. When those spirits kind of attached to us and wanted to join.
Wow. Like, so those,
I thought this was a revelation.
Those thoughts were not your own.
But then I turned to my guides and I say, hey, what is going on? Were you guys, what, you on vacation? You took a break? I almost walked in front of a bus. What is this? And they said, well, if we told you, you wouldn't believe us. So we showed you. So a lot of this stuff, like the motorcycle accident, you're fine. We don't want you to go, but we're showing you something. So I said, I promise, I'll enjoy reading it. Do I have to go through it each time?
Yeah, just tell me next time.
It'd be an easier way.
Yeah, it seems like it. I mean, if you didn't have a boundary, you would have these all over you. So you must have had some type of a tool that you could help maybe teach us.
Yeah.
That doesn't allow these beings to stick to us. But tell me the difference. You've used the word ghost and spirit. Is there a difference?
I think spirits are happy where they are. I think the ghosts are the ones that are lost.
Ah. So they both, could they all be crossed over loved ones? Or we don't necessarily have to know them.
Oh, I didn't know Anthony.
Mm, right.
You know, and most of the ones that are close to us are family. But when you have I'm not bragging about the size of my light, but maybe because of the guys they have. And you're probably somewhat vulnerable yourself.
Well, I do have a backache today and a neckache, and I had a migraine this morning, so I don't know what's happening. Now that you're saying all this, are you saying that anybody that has a headache should check the ghosts around them? I think I just got carsick. That's all it was.
In different areas. The number one cause for, first I say this, the number one cause for lower back pain and for headaches is dehydration. Make sure you have enough water. Go drink 3 big glasses of water and then let me know how you're doing.
Okay.
And make sure there's no conflict of medications. You've been to your doctor and all of that. So the lower back story, one of the top psychics in Florida asked me to do a conference call with a client of hers. He's had back problems for 10 years and 3 back surgeries.
That's severe.
As soon as we did this conference call, I had to ask him about his dad. I just, you know, had a feeling that his dad might be around. And I said, so how long ago did you lose your dad? He goes, that son of a bee. Mm. I couldn't care less about him, and that was 10 years ago. And it dawns on me, I'm going, well, 10 years ago, and you've had the back pain for 10 years. I said, I hate to tell you this, but your dad is causing your lower back pain. Then he was like furious. He's cussing and swearing, and I'm like, now hold on. Your dad is in a different realm. He understands he wasn't a good father. He's trying to make it up to you. He wants you to know that he's there. And how does he do that? So if it's on the left shoulder, the back part of the shoulder, and the back part of that neck, that's usually dad's grandfathers and uncles leaning on us, and lower spine. His dad was actually just holding onto his spine. He wanted his son to know, he's there, I'm sorry, I'm apologizing, you're ignoring me. But what they don't realize is that they're causing us pain.
What about the right side?
The right side is mom, grandma, aunts.
Huh.
I don't know why that works.
No, it's so interesting, right. I mean, I've noticed that you've turned into kind of where the ghost doctor, where you really work with bodies too now, where organs and muscles and all these different things where I really want to find out how you made this correlation. And we can talk about this a little bit more after the break, because that most people might not realize that different physical ailments might be attachments, and they're physical.
Attachments, energies, and emotions.
All right. We're going to talk about that when we come back with my guest, Rick Wagner. And by the way, his book is called My Haunted Reality, 50 Years of Ghost Stories. We're going to come back with Rick right after the break. I'm Lisa Gar. You're listening to Coast AM. Welcome back to Coast AM. Very cool announcement. iHeartMedia and Coast to Coast AM Paranormal Podcast Network is being announced. Very exciting there. It is the debut on the iHeartMedia and Coast to Coast AM Paranormal Podcast Network, and it will feature all of the wonderful things we talk about on Coast: paranormal, supernatural, the unexplained. Right now, you can see or listen to Shades of the Afterlife with Sandra Champlain on there. There's lots of comments, so you can go to iHeartRadio. You can go wherever you listen to podcasts, but go to the iHeartRadio app if you're just new to them, and you can look for it right there, Coast to Coast AM Paranormal Podcast Network. Check out all the new shows, a lot of great things coming up. So check that out at any time. All right, we'll be right back. I am Lisa Gar. You're listening to Coast AM. Welcome back to Coast AM. I am Lisa Gar, and joining me is Rick Wagner from My Haunted Reality. And we were talking before the break about doing energy clearings on the body around ghosts and spirits and attachments and beings, not only in the environment that you're in, but also in your specific body. And he's kind of gotten to be known as a bit of the ghost doctor because he deals with these invisible things that are causing interference in our bodies. So how would you know the difference between a physical attachment and maybe something that is an injury? Could you tell the difference, Rick?
Sure. This is after you've gone to the doctor and they're not getting the answers you need. So to finish up the story about the client in Florida with the lower back pain, all I said to do was, have your dad take a step back. The spirit doesn't know that by leaning on us, they're causing us pain. If you have headaches, shoulder pain, left side, right side, depending male or female, or lower back pain from a father or grandfather, just say, "Could you please take a step back?" At the end of our session, he stood up to go to the bathroom, and the woman that arranged this meeting gasped. He said, "What's the matter?" She goes, "You're standing up. You haven't stood up like that in 10 years."
Interesting.
Just by having that energy released.
Well, releasing it, giving it permission to go, actually asking it to go.
So now you talk to your dad. You work that out. Or
Okay.
you need to work that out.
And so, go ahead. Muscles, organs, everything, right?
So a great example is when I was writing the book, I saw the book. I saw the cover of the book. I saw it was 213 pages, 13 chapters. I saw it for sale in Hudson bookshops. How do you get in there? I don't know. I saw me talking about it on cruise ships. How did that happen? I don't know. Every single one of those things happened. And all I do is I say thank you. And it's all about us getting out of our own way, being aware of the energies around us, and paying attention. So this is a little short story. This was a woman who was a passenger on the ship. And she came to all my events and all my classes, and now she's with a cane. And I said to her, I said, "What's going on? What is that about?" She said, "Well, I had collagen shots before I got on the ship, and now they're wearing off and it hurts." And I said, "Well, what did the doctor say?" She goes, "There's no reason for it. I'm old." I go, "You are not old. What is it that's preventing you from moving forward?" She said, "What do you mean?" "Our hips, our knees, and our feet move us forward. You have knee pain. Why are you preventing yourself from moving forward?" She goes, "Oh, well, her parents just moved in with them. They're down in Sydney. I was touring Australia on a cruise ship, teaching classes on sleep and anxiety. So her parents move in with her, and they have dementia. So in her mind, we're never going to be able to take a cruise again. We're never going to be able to travel. We're never going to be able to what? To move forward." I said, "Can you see? You created that in your knee. There's nothing wrong with it. I'm going to take that energy out, that thought out, any preconceived ideas of what that is. Your parents are your parents. They're living with you because they're living with you. That has nothing to do with you traveling. You travel because you travel. Stop putting the two together.
Crafty, aren't we?
She came up the next day without her cane. She goes, I have to tell you, my knee feels wonderful.
Ah, interesting. Have you noticed that since this the shutdown and the pandemic and everything we're experiencing, that there have been more people that have experienced ghosts or entities or beings since they're spending more time at home?
We're paying attention to different things, and we're slowing down. We're slowing down
True.
So we can pay attention to different things.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that cool?
So, yes, in a way.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. And it's, how do we communicate with the spirit? And I always say our ears and our eyes are in our chest, if that makes any sense to you. Our empathetic center is in our chest, our heart chakra. That is where we're going to see and feel things and hear things. So when there's something around you, I always tell my clients, well, what's it feel like? I don't know. It's too scary. Go, stop it.
Mm-hmm.
Get the fear out of the way. What does it feel like? That's your source of communication with what's around you.
Well, what does the fear come from? Does it come from the unknown?
Horror movies.
Because of bad
things. It's ingrained in us. It's like, it's a scary movie. They're trying to kill us. How many times have you seen in the headlines, man bludgeoned to death by ghost?
Oh, yes. We have lots of headlines on the Coast to Coast website today about
sorry.
Wonderful things like that.
What was I thinking?
Yes, about the Conjuring house, and it seems haunted, and it's all in the news there. I mean, there's so many things of constantly people going in, paranormal investigators, mm-hmm. and where there have been prior things like seances or evidence of a ghost harming people. We see a lot of that on the movies.
Yes.
Is it true?
That's where the fear comes from.
Is it true? I mean, do ghosts harm people in your experience?
If it's something that is annoying, it's like televisions on and off, lights on and off, little things starting up or little things thrown across, it's a kid. That's like a child spirit. They're playing.
Okay.
I had one in my last house in Los Feliz, and she was an 8-year-old ghost. She turned on television downstairs in the living room. Loudly at 3:30 in the morning.
Mm.
I'd have to run all the way downstairs and turn it off. I'd get halfway up the stairs, it would come on again. I'd say, Anna, stop it. I'm going to send you away. You know, but it's usually attention. The older spirits, I think, you know, if they're lost and lonely, that's where the depression comes from. There was a guy. Oh, he's a manager of a senior living center in Hollywood, which was a hotel in 1924.
Mm.
He was referred to me through a woman who does past life regressions, and she said, oh, no, you got to talk to Rick. He's got a wife. He's got two kids. He's very happy. He says, all I think about is killing myself.
Mm.
Suicide every day. He said, I don't know why. He says, I'm not depressed. I go, oh, it's Henry. He goes, who's Henry? I said, well, Henry's the spirit you picked up from wherever it is you work. Henry wants you to join him, and he's trying to think of clever ways for you to come over there.
Oh, yeah, that's charming.
Same story.
Mm-hmm.
So is that evil? It's all in those horror films. You need to kill yourself. You need to jump off the balcony, you know, and it's like, why? Well, you're lonely. I'm not. You just need to reconnect with other spirits and go have fun.
So you just need to get the seniority back that you have the body, and they don't.
Yes.
And I'm, you know, excited because later we're...
Get over the fear and say, this is, you know, who do you want to see? Who can I connect you with? Mm-hmm. So what happened was Henry was connected to his mom and went away, and that feeling of depression and suicide disappeared. But Tim told me, he said, why don't you come to the hotel? I think it'd be quite an experience for you. Mm-hmm. So there are very few stories where it personally affected me. here is this 1924 beautiful hotel that was just kind of drywalled, partitioned downstairs, and then they cut up all the proscenium and the marble walkways and everything. And the spirits there weren't really happy with what the humans were doing. We were in the storage room and walked in, and instantly I felt something. I said to Tim, I said, do you feel that? And he goes, yeah, this is what I want to show you. Lisa, if you could imagine standing in a room and having a very thin electric blanket covering your entire body from your toes to your head.
Oh, that's a good image, yes.
And it's electrified. And when I moved my arm, it felt like I just passed through 10 spirits that were hanging out down there.
Wow.
And I said, I want to thank you for this experience. I have never in my life felt this. And you could see every hair was like standing up, but it was like getting a hug, like getting a spiritual hug.
Huh.
And it was tremendous. And I thanked them. I said, thank you for the experience. That's really wonderful. Please do not follow me home.
Yeah.
I do not want you.
Yes, you've been through that enough.
With you got to set your boundaries. But, you know, I'm like a traffic guide, I think, you know.
Well, you communicate to them. And
yes.
Once you do that, and in a kind way where you say thank you,
mm-hmm.
then maybe they feel that they don't have to get your attention so much.
No.
Is,
and they're not, you know, and I said, if anyone here doesn't feel like they want to be here, let me know. You're happy here in this group of this little spirit thing you got going on, then it's fine.
So did anything change or shift in the 1924 hotel? After that? Like after that, did he have a different experience?
Ooh, well.
Oh, that didn't end so well. Oh, do tell.
Okay, we're okay. Continuing the tour. We go outside.
Uh-oh.
It's just, we get to the corner of the building, and they've got this beautiful landscape garden where the seniors can come out and sit. I went by a palm tree, and I got this rush of emotion, and I said, Tim, stop. There's something about this spot on the ground. He goes, yeah, look up there. We're at the corner of the building, and up on the 10th floor, he said, that's where one of the workers jumped. And landed here. And I said, oh, that's a spirit possession, you know, come join us kind of a thing.
Oh.
And I said, no, but there's something more. He said, yeah, there was. 6 months later, somebody else did it in the exact same spot. So I went back in and had a conversation.
Yes.
I said, no, you cannot do this.
They're enrolling.
Cannot. Mm-hmm. That is not allowed to jump onto a human and have them kill themselves so you would have their company. No, it's got to stop. So that's, whew.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's a great, thank you for sharing that, because that is maybe very confusing to someone who has suicidal thoughts that might not be familiar with them or any
reason. But having them for no reason.
Mm-hmm. And having them for no reason.
I'm not depressed. Why do I want to kill myself?
So what you could really need is an exorcism or a way to get these ghost-like beings out from the enrolling you.
The problem with the exorcism sounds like we're bringing in the church and they're throwing holy water at you. So I just said, no, just have a conversation, you know, find out what the spirit wants.
Well, I mean, I can't wait to hear other people's stories of when they've had these encounters and what happened to them. But I do want to know about the children. Why do these ghosts tend to visit little children so often, young kids?
Oh, remember, they want affirmation.
Okay.
They want acknowledgement that somebody can see them. And adults, and like I said, we were so busy before, we never took time to see anything or feel anything, but now we've got time to see and feel things.
Yeah.
How do you feel?
Yeah.
I don't know. It's kind of weird. There's something going on in my space.
Yes.
The energy, like, well, it was fine when I was running around working. I wasn't here much, you know?
Right.
And kids have the time and they have the insight and they're, you know, how many have invisible friends?
Yeah. Maybe those could be true. What's the most haunted place you've ever been to?
I get asked that a lot. And I have the same answer. It's like, well,
my house.
Everywhere. Why would I go somewhere to see them? They are not chained. They are not trapped somewhere.
But they what might. About Like, what about a really great spooky looking vacant house or, a broken down.
Do you mean like the Carlton Villa?
Yes, the Carlton
Speaking
Villa.
of which,
Speaking of which, yes.
more about that later, everyone.
We will, yes, more about that in 5 minutes.
Yeah, but that was so dilapidated that I don't think it would be a place that they would enjoy. And why are the spirits earthbound?
Oh, so why haven't they? Yeah, why haven't they gone into the afterlife? I mean, it's so
Yeah, through the
much.
afterlife, they've lost their body, and I feel that they still have a strong connection. Again, if we come in with family, we chose our family, we go through this life, and we connect with our family on the other side, sometimes that connection is still there, and they're like, well, I got to get the rest of my family. Where are they? And then they get lost. They don't know where to go, and they see other people that have light and have insight and empathy, and they will try to get their attention. And then the human runs away in fear.
That, yeah. And so they don't have anyone to hang out with. Well, what about the older Hollywood buildings that you were around when you were like the Roosevelt Hotel and
Okay.
these classic
Here
places
is
that.
an example. I went to Quebec. Quebec City and Montreal. Montreal has a section that's like a 500-year-old section, and they do a ghost tour. And I'm like, I am so there. Let's do
Yes.
this thing. Because I'm sure the guy that's running it has lots of stories for me. So
Yes.
we're going to all these places where boats sank and hundreds of people were killed, and this was a prison, and this is where people were. Shot in the street, and I'm like, excuse me, you're just showing us where people died. I'm
Yeah.
not feeling that there's any ghosts here. He goes, oh no, the ghosts are in the hotels, but we're not allowed to tell
Oh,
anybody.
nice. Well, yeah, like the Boulderado and these really classic hotels.
Yeah,
So
people hang out there.
we do have a really fun thing that we can announce right now because there's a break coming up. Now, what did you do for our wonderful coast listeners? You have a fun little ghost hunt to
I do.
put us on.
I am looking for our very own ghost hunters
Okay.
out there. So the story is the number one most haunted house in the United States is the Carlton Villa.
Okay.
I did a video tour of it because I was doing home renovations and I was sincerely interested in buying this place and renovating it and turning it into an authentically haunted bed and breakfast. Wouldn't that be cool?
Where is it?
Wouldn't that be
No,
cool?
but
It's up
where
in
is
Thousand Islands.
it? Where is it?
It's
Oh,
up in Thousand Islands.
okay.
And
Upstate New
here's
York.
an example. I get a phone call from a guy from upstate New York. He found my number and he called me and left a message and he said, I have to tell you, there's a ghost in that video. I watched the Carlton Villa and there's a ghost in the video and I have not been able to sleep since then. So I'm running a little contest. The first 20 winners that give me the correct information will receive a free autographed copy of my book, My Haunted Reality.
Ooh.
And I've been getting so many comments and questions about the Carlton Villa that I thought, So if you go to my YouTube page, Rick Wagner Coach,
Okay.
there is a video called Return to Carlton Villa. It's going to give you all the information about what you have to do. There are six locations of ghosts in the video.
Six
So if you
ghosts.
can come back and give me the correct locations and the email information is all on there, and I need your
Fun.
information, you will get a free copy of my book.
Oh, this is exciting. So go to YouTube during the break and look up Rick Wagner, The Carlton Villa, and you'll see this great piece. I watched it of him going through the Carlton Villa, and he takes you through the stairs and the steps, and it's so much fun. And take down the time codes where you see the ghosts. Go ghost hunting during the break.
It is.
And
It's a perfect time of year to do
it is. It's kind of
that.
fun. And the
You
first
get a
20
free copy
people
of my book.
that email with the correct time codes, then you will get a copy of his book, of the Haunted Reality book, which is a lot of fun. I watched it last night and it scared me first.
Yeah.
to see the coast. But
it's a great story. That place is amazing. It was built in 1891, back in
fabulous
the Industrial
story.
Revolution, and all those big old castles.
What?
But if you go to YouTube and just search for Rick Wagoner Coach, all my videos will come up. You'll see the Carlton Villa, and you'll see Return to the Carlton Villa, and that's the information for the contest.
Okay, go ghost hunting, and we will be back after the break with Rick Wagoner to talk more about the Carlton Villa. We'll be right back. I'm Lisa Gar. You're listening to Coast to Coast AM.